Like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 6th of August, and I have a very interesting clip on a drug called hydroxychloroquine, which does a fantastic job treating this COVID-19 virus.
Fight the enemy and save lives and you spread it. HCQ, Nazis take over the media.
Hey, have you ever noticed that whenever somebody goes up against the mainstream narrative, or God forbid, dares to challenge somebody like Big Pharma, they are immediately, ruthlessly persecuted by the mainstream mockingbird media? Ever notice that? Perfect example is the character assassination that's going on right now with America's frontline doctors, who recently held a press conference to tell us all about their success stories in treating coronavirus patients with hydroxychloroquine.
This is a treatment regimen that's very simple, and it should be in the hands of the American people. The difficult aspect of this is that at the moment, because of politics, it's being blocked from doctors prescribing it, and it's being blocked from pharmacists releasing it. They've been empowered to overrule the doctor's opinion.
The video is astonishing, and it's been completely removed from the internet. I mean, it was seen, 17 million times before Facebook, Twitter, Google, and the rest threw it down the memory hole and completely got rid of it off the internet. President Trump posted this video and Twitter deleted it.
The president retweeted the video, which was eventually taken down by Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube for violating misinformation policies.
And they went even further with Don Jr. He posted it. They deleted his video as well, but they also suspended his account.
Wow. This is a must-watch because it seems very contrary to the narrative that they've been force-feeding us.
I mean, what the hell are they so afraid of? Why is this video so dangerous? They won't even debate these frontline doctors. Just shut it down. Shut it down. No hydroxychloroquine for you. Think about it. Right now, in the good old U.S. of A., America's frontline doctors are not allowed to participate on the public square. That's what's going on. Under Trump's watch, I might add, and sure, he might act like he's not very happy about it, but when it comes to big tech censorship, Donald Trump is all tweet and no action.
And now they're going in and pulling out peer-reviewed studies going back about hydroxychloroquine, and they are taking it down because they are so upset that this is challenging them because they want you to take a forced inoculation.
There are many thousands of physicians who have been silenced from telling the American people the good news about the situation, that we can manage the virus.
It's not good enough for big tech to simply delete these videos and silence these frontline doctors. No, they've got to go much further than that. These doctors must be punished and ridiculed and made examples of for daring to go up against the mainstream big pharma narrative. Shame.
Dr. Stella Emanuel was part of a video Monday that featured a group of doctors claiming without evidence that there's a cure for COVID-19.
Dr. Simone Gold was in that video, the banned one. She was censored, but more than that, she was fired from her job. Dr. Emanuel here has a large number of baseless claims.
Dr. Emanuel has also drawn criticism for pushing unusual conspiracy theories.
First, they delete the videos and throw them down the memory hole. Then comes the smear campaigns and the character assassinations.
Seriously, who on earth could possibly trust a doctor like this?
She believes that demons and witches cause medical problems when they have nighttime dream sex with humans.
But just to be clear, John, we're not supposed to have sex with demons while we're asleep? Does she think that's bad? I get lost.
And here's the thing, no one loves a demon sperm joke more than I do.
Demon sperm?
That's Don Lemon's new name, Demon Sperm.
I've been fighting this info war for a long time. I work for the most banned news network in the world. And one thing I know for sure is you receive the most flack when you're over the target. And trust me, right now, these frontline doctors, they are directly over one big fat pharma target. that's why they're being persecuted.
Who should get the name Demons Firm? George Soros?
I think you're doing a real disservice to Americans. I mean, if you're going to come on here and talk about how this is a good dream.
The BBC is state-run media in the UK, and they've come out with a detailed article, it's linked on Infowars.com, saying you will have to have forced inoculations multiple times a year to be able to travel. Robots will scan you when you land. You will have a digital tattoo under your skin to be able to enter the country, but it's going to be so easy and so cool and so fun. The Microsoft website now officially has announced the digital tattoo. We exposed this 6 months ago, how Bill Gates was funding it, and they had hundreds of news articles attacking us saying it wasn't true. This is a tactic they use. First they announce it, we say it's a bad idea. They say, that's crazy, we didn't do it. They introduce the idea to you, then they come back and announce it again, thinking you have no memory. This is a criminal takeover. This is the line in the sand. We must say no. We must expose the fraud of COVID-19 this entire house of evil is built on. I'm Alex Jones. Never surrender to tyranny. Infowars.com.
Well, I thought that might be a good place to stop. It's a strange situation where we have something like hydroxychloroquine, which has like a 99.9% success rate against this COVID-19. And it's been around for many decades, probably over 50 years. But, of course, it is being hushed up and covered up by this group that is generally known as the New World Order. It's the elitist, richest people in the world, including people like George Soros, the Illuminati, who you might call the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, people of that nature. They've been trying to take over the world for quite some time, and they've made their move now, and they have their cover. The cover is the lockdowns for the COVID-19. The goals of the New World Order are to create a one-world government, to destroy national identity, the destruction of the middle class, to destroy the family, make humanity genderless and natural sex, implant every human with a data chip, the destruction of religion, the removal of all rights and freedoms. They want to merge mankind with machines, dumb down the public, move people into mega cities, restrict travel, remove all privacy, eliminate national borders, end all industrialization. And the one good thing that they want to do, which is reduce the world's population. They also want to create a cashless society. So these are the goals at the highest level of this group, and they're using the mainstream media to disorient the public. If you're listening to CNN or MSNBC or ABC or any of those, and you're taking what they say as truth, then unfortunately, you're being mind controlled. And it's called Operation Mockingbird, which was a large-scale program that the Central Intelligence Agency was undertaking. And William J. Casey, who was the director of the CIA for a fair amount of time, said, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is a lie." Or is false, I should say. He said false. So this is what we're up against. Embedded corruption within our government that's so huge, it's so staggering, and it's been there for so long, it's hard to even wrap your mind around. And I think that's the big problem people are having is the scope of the deception, the scope of the lie is so huge, and there are so many people involved that people can't believe it's real. Unfortunately, it's very real. Billy and Kelk der Wahrheit, the Goblet of Truth, calls it the the secret dark order, and he talks about a conditioned tyranny over our consciousness. So we're being conditioned. You know how you condition an animal? You tell it to sit over and over and over again. Tell it to stay over and over and over again. That's what they do. They do the same kind of thing, but with television or with whatever media you're getting it on, your PC or your phone. They repeat it over and over and over again, and people get conditioned. And so they kind of get brainwashed, and then it's funny. It becomes an automatic behavior, which I don't know exactly why certain people are more vulnerable than others. And I've always wondered about that. In the Goblet of Truth, Billy says the following. He says, "It was in particular the Roman Catholic Church that inherited the practices of the inhuman Roman Imperium, establishing an evil, conscious conditioned tyranny in the place of the former Roman military tyranny." So it was the Roman Catholic Church that brought in the consciousness conditioned tyranny, and that replaced the military tyranny that existed. And it says here, which reached its accumulation in the Inquisition, but has continued uninterrupted since then, even in a reduced form. The other thing that the elite want to do is take away our rights of self-determination. And Billy talked about that several times in the Goblet of the Truth. Very, very interesting and very powerful way to describe this, the way Billy did. It made a tremendous impression on me. A tyranny, of course, is a cruel and oppressive government rule. Political correctness is a part of this, and people are marginalized in order to keep information from getting out. So that's where political correctness comes in. It's another way to censor people. The other big issue with this, which I think people find very strange, or they probably haven't wrapped their mind around, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind around, is the seventh goal of the ruling class is to merge mankind with machines. They actually say humanity is obsolete. And they want to bring in the age of transhumanism. This is probably something that I should probably spend a lot more time on. It relates to what Billy said in Contact 251, which was the rise of the robot people. Well, that's what's going to happen next. You're going to see robot people. Transhumanism is a philosophical movement that advocates for the transmission of the transformation of the human condition by developing and making widely available sophisticated technologies to greatly enhance the human intellect and physiology. Let me tell you, this group has no intention of enhancing humanity, either intellectually or physically. What they want are robots. That's why this transhumanism is coming into place. And they're going to sell it to you as, ooh, you're going to be more powerful, you're going to be more intelligent. But all they're going to do is control you through these technologies. Transhumanist thinkers study the emerging technologies that could overcome fundamental human limitations. So this to me is one of the greatest deceptions ever was. And it was Julian Huxley, who was the biologist who popularized the term transhumanism. And you've probably heard of that guy before, Julian Huxley. I know I have. He's got his own Wikipedia page. He was called an evolutionary biologist, and he was the first director of UNESCO, which was a part of the United Nations, from what I understand. There was something else that this guy did that I'm just searching for here. I haven't really, don't remember exactly what it was. And I probably won't find it, and I certainly won't waste your time. But Julian Huxley, he's a part of this whole transhumanistic thing. He was probably the first person to really talk about this. There's also something called, of course, artificial intelligence, which you've heard of, and this idea of the technological singularity. And that's supposed to be the point in time at which technical growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible, resulting in unforeseen changes to the human civilization. Maybe in some ways we're already there. There was another big wig in this transhumanist movement that his name is not even coming to my mind, but I know another big one. I haven't heard him talked about in a long time. I can't remember his name. It's a very insane. It's to me, it's against every creational natural law to engage in this sort of thing, because it doesn't allow for normal biological evolution. They're trying to say that we can step in with our extremely limited understanding of things and improve on what creation has already put in place. Now, that doesn't mean that some of their inventions won't actually have some practical value. I think that that's probably true. But they're so far extreme in their points of view. That's why I really need to devote some more time to this in order to wrap my mind around it a little bit better. Anyway, back to what's more typical and normal for us, which is talking about the book Macht der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts. Last year we talked about the fluidal energies, fluidal powers. We might get into that a little bit, but let's talk again about feelings and the importance of feelings. The feelings are life-sustaining. They grow out of the thoughts. They help simplify things. I think that's really something that I've learned this time through. That's, you know, there's a lot of very complicated aspects to reality. You know, when you're interfacing with another human being or several other human beings. And a lot of times the mind will just create a feeling that represents this complex interaction. And then that's kind of stored away. That feeling is stored away. So when the situation arises again, you'll have this specific feeling, and that becomes your way of identifying this particular kind of external stimuli. And feelings enable a quick processing of both external and internal stimuli, which is so nice because it makes life easier, more bearable. It doesn't seem as complicated. Feelings allow the thoughts to discharge. Remember, the feelings grab the thoughts. Feelings are not emotions. Emotions surge up uncontrollably. Feelings grow, and they take time. They manifest slowly. They also deliver power to your psyche. Now, the psyche controls, looks after, administers, pick your favorite word. It's what controls the material consciousness or administers it. Your material consciousness is who you are in this lifetime. It's your personality. It's your subconscious, unconscious, and conscious mind. It's the material consciousness is what deals with daily life, whether you're typing at the computer screen or driving your car or sweeping out your garage. It's the material consciousness which is engaged in those kind of activities, play music, etc. The spiritual consciousness is the fragment of creation of the universal consciousness that never dies, that is continually learning from each one of these lifetimes. The real you, I guess you could probably say, the permanent you and me, is the spiritual consciousness. And the spirit form leaves the spirit realm 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg and it enters into the superior colliculus, which is kind of in the lower middle brain, and it's the place of integration, is my understanding, where the hearing and the thoughts and the speech all come together. The spiritual consciousness, it never dies. It's often called the spirit form. Its relationship to the body is like a guest house. So it brings the literal life into the body. It sends a energy throughout the whole body like a lattice structure. When it enters on the 21st day after the conception, it enters into the skull in that superior colliculus, and the heart starts to beat. The consciousness starts to function and starts to think. The superior colliculus then will be the residing place of this fragment of the universal consciousness, a Telstock, it's called in the German. And that part of you will never die. And when the physical life is over, the spirit form leaves the body. It takes with it the material consciousness, and it takes it into the spirit realm. Particularly, the material consciousness goes into a place called the overall consciousness block, which is kind of a storage area. And the spirit form then processes everything that you've done, everything that you've learned, and it creates evolutive values like confidence and optimism, ability to relax, the ability to be logical, discernment, your innate abilities to be neutral, positive, to be fair and to be reserved and confident and to be logical, and your ability to learn. Many of these are evolutive values, your sense of love and fairness. These are stored in the subconscious. And so they're there for the next life. So when you start the next life, you'll leave off right where you were, in a sense. I mean, you've got to learn to speak again. You've got to learn to control your bodily functions again. But you will get these impulses of wisdom from the spirit form, from the spiritual consciousness. And these are guiding impulses, guiding signals, which are direction determining, which will help you in making decisions on where you should go, what you should do, and that sort of thing. Your time in the spirit realm would typically be 1.5 times, I think that's roughly correct, what your physical lifetime would be. So I believe if you spend 100 years in a physical lifetime, ideally you would spend 152 years, something to that effect, in the spirit world. So everything could be completely processed. This would allow for the formation, particularly of the new personality. Now, a lot of spirit forms are kind of ripped out of the spirit realm too quickly nowadays because of the overpopulation. And this poses particular problems in the formation of the male personality. It also causes us for problems in relation to independence, because when the spirit form is ripped out of the spirit realm, that's my own term, by the way. I don't think I've ever heard Billy use that term, but that's what it reminds me of. You're ripped out of your little womb, your little area in the spirit realm where you're making all of your learning and you're making all your progress for the next life, and boom, before you know it, you're back and you're in another superior colliculus and another child, and you didn't get to finish your job entirely. And this is the problem. One of the problems related to overpopulation, it affects not only the physical realm, but the spirit realm, and it throws off all these cycles that are supposed to go for such certain amounts of time. And there's a creational natural law called system and order, and there's an exactness to nature. Nature functions in absolute logic. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic. So there's an absolute logic associated to how the timing of everything is. Timing is so critical. So you need, for example, if you had 100 years in the physical, you would need about 152 in the spiritual realm in order to get all your preparations, everything, all your ducks in a row for the next life. But we are destroying the system and order of creation. Now, can you imagine what something like transhumanism does? I can't even wrap my mind around that. So we're so dangerous in terms of our lack of understanding. One of the things that Spoth told Billy was that the biggest problem with the Earth human is he doesn't understand creation. And that's why we have this horrible overpopulation, which affects not only the physical realm, but the spirit realm. So it's such a profound problem. It's affecting all aspects of human life, not just the physical world where it causes scarcity and all kinds of pollution, and now we're having the biological aspect of this, which is part of why the sicknesses are so prevalent. And most people are so confused. There's so much confusion right now because the thoughts are so tangled. The ideas, IDEAS, means it's not something completely thought through. An ideal is completely thought through. So humanity is functioning on so many things which are not completely thought through. And people are living based on their physical impulses too much rather than their sense of discernment. They aren't thinking things through, and that's why they have children and then too many children. And then spirit forms are ripped out of the spirit realm and they go back into a body too soon. And there's just all sorts of horrific problems that are taking place, where we need to learn these principles that are in these books like Mighty Thoughts, Machter Gedanken, the Talmud of Emmanuel, the Psyche, the Way to Live. These books are designed to restore order, and that's what we desperately need, is the restoration of order. There's so much suppression of truth now that most human beings really are just so confused, and they live in anxiety and doubt. And anxiety and doubt is what's destroying knowledge. That's one of the big, huge problems associated with anxiety and doubt. So don't allow anxiety and doubt into your life. Well, boy, somehow our time is up, folks, and I hope you've benefited from this. This is Ohio Exopolitics. Your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll try again soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.